This is the RDU on Stage podcast. I'm Lauren Van Hamert, your host, and on today's episode, I'm chatting with Gail Turner. It's hard to believe, but next year marks the 45th anniversary of The Wiz, a show Gail Turner knows a bit about. Gail was just a couple weeks out of school when she auditioned and landed a role in the original Broadway production. But that was just the beginning for Turner, who has done concert, theater, and television work, including landing a recurring role as Officer Dominguez on Law & Order SVU. Next month, Turner is coming to North Carolina to play Sadie Delaney in the North Carolina theater production of Having Our Say, the Delaney sisters' first 100 years. Sadie and Bessie Delaney were civil rights pioneers who were born to a former slave. For over a century, the pair bore witness to decades of American history, from their families' post-slavery years through the civil rights movement, right up to the time they died in the 1990s. Turner says she's proud to bring this tale of divine sisterhood to the Raleigh stage, especially since the Delaney sisters' story is woven into the fabric of Triangle history. And that's where our conversation begins.
From my perspective, the Delaney sisters were two sisters born in the late 1800s who loved, laughed, and embraced life, living together side by side for 100 years. I call that divine sisterhood.
And in doing your research, reading the book, was there anything about them that surprised you other than the fact that they lived side by side their entire lives?
You know, I loved in my research how their personalities balanced each other out. You know, Bessie was very sassy and spicy, very honest, you know, a little very emotional. And I think that Sadie balanced it out. She just had a gentleness about her, but still was so educated, very pulled up, you know, almost like salt and pepper. You know, they really did balance each other out in such a lovely way. So there was no competition. It was like unconditional love that they had as sisters. It's just so endearing. And when I read the book, once I had, you know, booked this role, it was just, my heart was just so full reading about them and saying, oh my goodness, these are two special human beings. And really, you know, maybe look at my own life and go, wow, I have things to do.
Are there any similarities between, you play Sarah Sadie Delaney?
I play Sadie, yes.
Sadie. Are there any similarities between you and Sadie that you can draw from, whether it's her faith or her demeanor, anything that you can draw from in portraying this role?
Well, I would say definitely her faith. You know, I have a very strong faith. It really gets me through a lot of the bumps in the road in life. And I learned about Sadie that she wasn't confrontational the way Bessie was. Bessie would go to the protests throughout the, you know, Harlem years or whatever. And I think that Sadie was the one who stayed at home, even though she believed in her race and was very strong about it. But I think that she was the quiet one, but still firm, you know, very educated. And I think that I'm the same way. I find myself, I'm not the one, I mean, I'll know about protests, you know, that are going on, but I'll contribute, I'll go, but I don't get into the face-to-face confrontational. So I'm very much, there are some similarities in her personality that are like mine. I'm a very calm spirit, very loving, very kind. Those are the things that she is. And I said, wow, there are a lot of things that I take that I'm very happy about, that I feel that I'm very close to who she was as a human being, very proud of who she was, loved her family. I love my family. And just someone who didn't mind sharing their knowledge. I like to share like my gifts of music with children. I like to, the difference between right and wrong, even in my when I get a chance to, have one-on-one with kids these days. I like to listen to what they have to say, but also share my wisdom so that if they're to keep them on the right path. I feel like life is a journey, and to be able to give that back to the younger generation is like an honor for me.
That kind of leads me to my next question, which is Broadway Inspirational Voices. I know you're so committed to giving back through your music and service. Why is giving back so important to you?
Well, I live a very humble life. I like to say humble. And I feel that God has given me a gift, blessed me with a talent, really at a very young age to be able to sing and act. And I had very supportive parents all through college. I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. I learned sight reading, ear training, and I was able to bring that, my skills, to the Broadway Inspirational Voices. And being a part of that BIV family, we're in partnership with the Ronald McDonald House and the Covenant House with our young people. It is such a money is not, it's not even a thing of getting paid to do these things. It's a way of the giving back. It's so enjoyable because you were given a gift. It's almost like giving it back. It's a full circle. It's wonderful to be able to answer questions with another young person of just simple things. How do you hold your breath so long? Or how did you get your voice to be that way? I like the feeling of passing the torch back. I really think that's what it's about because someone passed the torch to me, that actors, singers who were older than me that I was able to research and study and admire growing up. And now I feel like I'm one of those individuals that young people look for and look towards to get inspiration and to get, lessons in faith and encouragement and how to brush yourself off and keep going. So it's very important to give back.
Now, you're not new to the historical drama genre. I read that you were in the musical Langston in Harlem off Broadway. Is the storytelling and characterization, is it more challenging or the stakes higher when you're telling a true story like Langston in Harlem or Having Our Say than it is if you're just doing a fictional piece?
I would say when I did Langston in Harlem, I played Langston's mother in that musical, but I was able to make that character who I wanted her to be. Was Gail Turner, the actress, bringing this character to life. But I find in Having Our Say, because Bessie and Sadie were so known, they're really big shoes to fill, but I find that it's more challenging because I had to do a lot of research to really get into who these two women were. I don't think that the Langston in Harlem, I didn't have to do as much research as I did for Having Our Say, because I just know these two individuals are just so beloved. Besides my skills as being an actress, just the research, it really is something to feel connected to for myself, for Sadie. I really wanted to know who is Sadie? Who is Sadie Delaney that makes her different from someone else? So I would say it is more challenging. Yeah, it is more challenging, but rewarding.
Well, and they have such a connection to Raleigh and St. Augustine University, so it's particularly special, I think, to be telling the story here. I think that's
Yes.
exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming down and already put in a request. I had asked a question, is St. Aug's, is that school, the university, is it still there? And when our director, Tia James, said it is, I definitely want to get a tour or go there and see. That is so, I got so excited to get that answer that that school still exists, which is wonderful. Knowing that that is where Bessie and Sadie and the Delaney family got started, the kids were raised right there, it's just very, very special to me. So I look forward to doing that in person when I come down to North Carolina.
Now, I want to backtrack a little bit to your Broadway beginnings, which are pretty impressive. You understudied Stephanie Mills in the original production of The Wiz.
I did.
And also in that production was another, I guess, unknown at the time, Andre DeShields.
He was my Wiz, yes.
That was your Broadway debut. What was that experience like? And did you know when you're doing that show how much of an iconic show it's going to become?
You know, I was a graduate. I was at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. April of 1976 was graduation. It was a two-year school. Loved the school. Still there, Madison Avenue, 30th Street. And I auditioned for The Wiz the week before my graduation in that April. And I left, graduated from school, and I worked as a saleswoman at Lord & Taylor's store in New York for 2 weeks. And then I had my callback for the role of Dorothy with Charlie Smalls, who was the composer for the show. And I literally was in The Wiz that July. So I graduated from the American Academy of Dramatic Arts that April of 76. And by July, I was in my first Broadway show. Oh, my God. Even as I talk about that right now, my cheeks are big. I'm smiling. It was something that is not hard to put into words. One of the most exciting moments of my life. I remember getting the call from the company manager. And at the time, I lived in Brooklyn in my family's house. We had like a, I guess you would call it a three-family house. And the phone call was from me. My mother answered the phone. My mother was so excited. It was the company manager from The Wiz. She couldn't even hang up the phone, but she heard the words. The company manager said to me, Gail Turner, we would like for you to join The Wiz family. And my mother like screamed at the top of her lungs. It was so exciting. I mean, I've been singing since I was like eight. And, you know, got serious in high school, auditioning for the different plays was a part of that. And so this was a dream come true. And, you know, I grew up watching The Wizard of Oz, you know, with Dorothy and the Lion and loved all those songs or whatever. And The Wiz opened in 1975. So I joined the cast the following year. But when I joined the show, there were three Dorothy understudies and, of course, under Stephanie Mills. And when I joined the cast, it was like the parting of the Red Sea for me. I was like the third understudy. At the time when I joined the cast, they had a national tour that kicked off, a bus and truck that kicked off. And so I went from being the third understudy to the first understudy. And then they didn't hire any other Dorothys once I joined the cast. I was Stephanie's understudy for 3 years. 76 to 79, an absolutely wonderful, I mean, Tiger Haynes, yes, Andre DeShields was my Wiz, the late great Greg Burge, Felicia Rashad, before she was Felicia Rashad, she was a Munchkin and she understudied Glenda, so I knew her before The Cosby Show. I mean, it's such history, and to this day, I mean, that was 1976, the show closed in 79. To this day, The Wiz music, the song is still a part of my life. In fact, I had a chance to play Aunt Em and Glenda at the Maine State Theater a few years ago, maybe about 4 years ago now. And that was a wonderful experience for me to be singing to Dorothy. It was almost like an out-of-body experience. I was like, what is going on here? But it was so wonderful. As I said, passing the torch. I all I could say to myself was, well, Dorothy is really grown up now. To this day, it's something that just, it has a special meaning. We still have reunions for the Wiz companies, you know, the Broadway cast, the you know, traveling, the bus and truck companies, the national tours, and people who did the Wiz movie. So it's one big Wiz family reunion that we have every year here in New York. And it's absolutely wonderful. It's nourishing for the spirit. It really is absolutely wonderful. I still have my Dorothy dress and my silver slippers, and they still fit.
I do have a question, because right now there is a lot of publicity and a lot of celebration being made about the fact that there's a person of color that's playing Glinda in Wicked.
Yes.
There's a person of color in Frozen playing Anna. But before some of these kids were even born. You were putting on those silver slippers and
yes.
playing Dorothy on Broadway. So what was it like stepping into a role that is identified with a white woman, mainly mm-hmm. Judy Garland? Mm-hmm. You know, what's it like stepping into that role as a woman of color and owning it on Broadway at that period of time?
Well, I'll tell you, the character of Dorothy, I found, no matter what color she was, that this little girl was still a caring individual, that she was willing to fight for her friends that she loved, you know, the Tin Man and the Lion and the Scarecrow, you know what I mean, against the witch. Mm. And I think that you find that Dorothy realizes and appreciates home. Once she's away from home, she realizes, you know, how important those relationships were to her. You know, that those are still relatable, no matter what color the role is. You know, that's what I found, the comparison. Now, the music is different, but I think the story is still about this little girl who finds these wonderful individuals who teach her things individually, and what she learns as she grows. As she grows up, she obviously cannot come back the same person. Even in the Wizard of Oz, I think when Dorothy wakes up and she sees, you know, the similarities of the characters, whatever, but I think she realizes how special home is, and that's what I related to the most. So I don't think it really matters. I think anybody can play those roles.
Well, and I think in the case of the Wizard of Oz, it teaches her empathy, and maybe it teaches the audience a little empathy at the same
yes.
time.
Yes, most definitely.
How has representation on stage, particularly in New York on Broadway, changed since you were beginning there on Broadway in the 70s?
Well, you know, I see a lot of change in casting. You know, when I go to see a lot of Broadway shows now, I see a lot of different, you know, nationalities. A lot of people are very gifted in all those singing and acting, directing, musical directors. You know, a lot of that has changed since the 70s. So I see a lot of versatility. Always could be more, but I definitely have seen people that maybe wouldn't have played those roles in the 70s. I definitely see the versatility happening, especially here in New York. You know, when I go to see a show, that you wouldn't see that person playing that role 40 years ago. So definitely I see versatility, yeah.
And why is telling stories like Langston and Harlem or the Delaney sisters, why are these stories important to tell?
You know, I think people need to be reminded of the history and of others, and to be able to respect other people's lives and the history and what people have contributed to the world and not take away from it. I think a lot of times people forget that everybody's, you know, we all have important things to do. We all are on journeys. I just think it's very important that people know about other histories and other people and not be afraid, you know, and see it with open eyes. You know, it's kind of like unconditional love, you know what I mean? Without any hang-ups, without any judgments or whatever. Just stay open, and we can learn a lot from each other.
Now, we haven't talked a lot about your television work, but in your career, you've kind of done it all. You've done concert work, you've done theater, you've done television. Do you have a favorite medium?
You know, I like the balance of them all, to be quite honest, because I know that, you know, auditioning for television and what you do in front of the camera is a little different from theater. And then, you know, I get opportunities to do straight theater and then there's musical theater. I mean, I guess my first love is singing. I love singing is my first love, and then acting, if I have to put it in that order. But I didn't really know about even combining acting and music until I was in college, and someone dared me to audition for a show called Hallelujah Baby for the lead role, and it was like this whole new world opened up that I could combine acting and sing it together. I was, you know what I mean? Even if I did it in high school, you didn't think of it as musical theater. It was just a show. So I would say I like all the different genres. I don't have a preference. I just go with the flow and what comes my way. My agent has me, auditioning for a lot of different things. I've done three or four Law and Order SVUs, which was great. And that's just a different thing. I enjoy it. It's less time consuming. Like when you do a show, it's like eight shows a week or whatever, But when you do TV stuff, it's just you shoot and then it's done. So it's less time consuming. I guess more people see it because it's on TV or whatever. So I like it all. I like it all.
We mentioned Andre DeShields, and you worked with him in The Wiz. You worked with him again in 2018, it looks like, in Halftime at Paper Mill Playhouse just last year. At the Tony Awards, he shared his three rules for sustaining a long career, sustaining a long career. Surround yourself with people whose eyes light up when you see you're coming. Slowly is the fastest way to get to where you want to be, and the top of the mountain is the bottom of the next mountain, so keep climbing. I love that. So what is your secret to sustaining this fabulous career that you've had that's spanned 30 plus years now?
I don't know if it's a secret, but I'm going to share it with you. I would say patience, knowing that what's yours, whatever it's supposed to be, what's yours is yours, to believe in yourself, to live, love, and laugh. Don't take life so seriously that you can't, you have to balance it out. So I would say live, love, and laugh. I remind myself that life is a journey. And to balance your life, even balance your career, family, friends, career. It can't be just all career, because I think balancing it helps you in your characters, helps you bring wisdom to your characters or whatever. It's not just playing roles, but you have to have life experiences to add something to the pie or bring something to the table. So I think your life experiences are very important. To sustaining your career, because that gives you the strength that you need. Sometimes you have to be a warrior for yourself. You will have things that will try to knock you off your journey. You have to have the strength to get back on at all times. So I would say endurance, patience, and balance in your journey.
I want to remind you that the North Carolina Theater production of Having Our Say, the Delaney Sisters' First 100 Years, opens November 8th at the Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts. More information on that can be found in the episode notes. On a side note, I'm so excited because the RDU on Stage podcast and blog have been named finalists in WRAL's Voters' Choice Awards. I want to thank everybody who nominated us and encourage you to vote for RDU on Stage and all your favorite businesses now through December 1st. If you like what you've heard today, please consider subscribing to the podcast. Follow us on social media at RDU on Stage, become a patron of this program, or visit us online at www.rduonstage.com. Until next time, I'll see you at the theater.